Well, hello there. Thank you for joining me. You might want to pull up a chair, maybe take a nap in between. We're going to be talking about sleep today. I consider myself kind of an expert at sleep right now. I have learned in the last few years how to sleep like a rock star. I sleep like there's no tomorrow, and I'd like to share with you some things about sleep today. One little tip that I do is I cut drinking fluids early. Let's say if I'm going to sleep about 8 o'clock, it's important to maintain regular sleep hours. So if I'm going to sleep at 8 o'clock at night, that means around six or so, I shut down the computer. I possibly would stop drinking any fluids around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. That's my goal time. And get that internet off. And what happens with the fluids is that you will not be up and down all night needing to use the restroom. So, because I thought in the beginning I was going to make some great honey and drink it in tea at night, no, I tried that once. It was a very bad plan. So, anyway, so I'd like to point out one thing before I get going here. Biden made a very angry speech last night. We're getting more money for Ukraine, damn it. And, I'd like you to pay attention to a few things because California is now trying to get voters to approve a $6.4 billion bond called Treatment Not Tents, the nation's most aggressive effort to get people off the streets and connected with health care and housing. The governor calls it key to gaining control of a public health emergency. Well, how'd this emergency get started? Well, they set up the emergency, right? Let people live in the streets, defecate in the streets, trash in the streets. Then finally, people get irritated and mad and they say, let's make changes. We're going to vote you out if you don't get rid of the people in the streets. See how it all happens? So now all these people are all agreeing in unison. Yes, we all agree. We must get these people out of those tents and off the streets. We're going to help get them into care. Well, care will come with a deadly price, if you ask me. So that is how it works. Get everybody so upset that people all agree in unison. Like, for example, they keep talking about all the crime in New York. Well, they keep saying, oh, in the subway, there's all this crime. Well, they're making this stuff up, right? And what's going on now in New York? Well, cops are now all in the subways. So pretty soon, we're going to be surrounded by cops. And how it gets started is by they create this horrible situation, and then their way to fix it is always deadly. Now, we should care as much for those people in the streets that we care about a newborn baby. They are one of us. They do not deserve to be living in that way. So, anyway, so enough of that. Today, I'm going to be talking about sleep. The most important thing they want to trick us with, right? So between sleep and stealing our time, something that really needs to be focused on. I have this idea about sleep. I think that they were inducing seizures in people, and the seizures were how they came up with the idea for electricity. So just stick with me for a minute here, okay? And down below, I'll have links. But anyway, so as early as the 16th century, agents to induce seizures were used to treat psychiatric conditions. In 1785, the therapeutic use of seizure induction was documented in the London Medical and Surgical Journal. The earliest doctor claimed 1744 as the dawn of electricity's therapeutic use. And it was documented in the first issue of Electricity and Medicine. Now, in case you're thinking, electricity, why is that bad? Well, I did a show about it. It is very bad. Our bodies are electricity. So those links will be down below. But anyway, so electricity. I think they started doing early tests with us. In other words, giving us seizures. And from that, they figured out that electricity was harmful for us. Now, keep in mind that I have been exploring this for a long time, and this is my opinion, but let me read some pieces here that led me to this thing. Because, full disclosure about today's subject, I have spent two nights in a U.S. psychiatric facility, and I have been declared crazy with a mental illness in this country. And well, if you think that at the end of the show, then maybe I didn't say it properly, but a lot of us in this country have been deemed as crazy, right? And unfortunately, other people who might serve better to be in support of the rest of us like to also grab that crazy mantle and accuse us of being crazy. And once they treat you with a psychiatric thing, what happens is everybody views you differently, right? Your own tribe, like your own family, will think they've got a nut amongst them, right? They'll think that you're going to crack it any minute. And everybody will start to treat you differently, and that will never change. And when you decide to get off the medication, like I did, they honestly view that as another indicator that you are, in fact, crazy. And I was told that I would need medication for my entire life. And when I decided to stop taking medication after some very serious events, I was given a very hard presentation. They really wanted to convince me that I should have gotten electroshock treatment. And they said, well, that's a lot better than it used to be. So this electroshock treatment has been on my brain personally and for a lot of years, because I think they stumbled on the idea to give us electricity. Because remember, my theory is this, whether you believe it or not, this is my theory. We are from a very advanced society. We're kind of like down here slumming on Earth, right? Trying to figure out these crude things. We communicated telepathically. We flew in the air. We did all those things. So this is kind of the ultimate test of our skills, right? To come down here without any pre-knowledge of how advanced we were and learn how to adjust, right? Like my grandparents had to learn how to homestead and, you know, raise farms and that kind of stuff. So this is like our testing ground, right? And I believe this is the final chapter of our testing ground. And I believe that is why electricity was introduced in the United States, because it is the biggest harm to our systems. And I've already said a lot about that in the show about electricity, so I'm not going to go into it all. And, you know, it's not really fair to the people who followed all along to then make this show all about why our bodies are electricity. But if you want to know more, our bodies are, in fact, electricity. And that's why I keep thinking this, right? So let me read some things that I have here, because Benjamin Franklin got started, right? The inventor of electricity. Well, he invented the light bulbs and stuff, because they had electricity supposedly going on before then. So let me start here. Treatment and cure of hysterical blindness was documented 11 years later. Benjamin Franklin wrote that an electrostatic machine cured a woman of hysterical fits. By 1801, they were starting to treat patients with various mental disorders. And remember, they developed all these mental disorders, and it started off as a small pamphlet, and now it's a big book of all the crazy things about us. And frankly, I would have to say that the people running things are the ones who really should be getting help for their mental disorders. But I don't want to digress. So, okay. So, I mean, come on, these sodomites, you think that somebody like me is crazy and the sodomites are okay? Just be careful who you're supporting. Okay. So when you pull back the veneer, those sodomites are pretty evil people. So, okay. So by 1801, they'd also use galvanism to treat patients. So the mid-19th century, this person called Duquesne was called the father of electrotherapy. Said its use was integral to neurological practice. In the second half of the 19th century, such efforts were frequent enough in British asylums as to make it notable. Convulsive therapy was introduced in 1934, who believed mistakenly that schizophrenia and epilepsy were analogical disorders. Induced seizures first. And so anyway, so they first recognized this in schizophrenia and epilepsy. But prior to that, they were just kind of testing it, right? So this person, Meduna, is thought to be the father of convulsive therapy. In 1937, the first international meeting on schizophrenia and convulsive therapy was held in Switzerland. So I think that they introduced this schizophrenic business about that time. Now, obviously, the show today isn't about schizophrenia, but what they started believing early on, I believe that led them to making sure that we all had lots of electricity in our homes, okay? It was believed early on that inducing convulsions aided in helping those with severe schizophrenia, but later found it to be most useful with affective disorders such as depression. They noted that a shock to the head produced convulsions in dogs. The idea to use electroshock on humans came when this person saw pigs were given an electroshock before being butchered to put them in an anesthetic state. So they thought they would do a human trial. Once they started trials on patients, they found that after 10 to 20 treatments, the results were significant. They claim, and I'm not saying that any of this is true, that patients had much improved. A positive side effect to the treatment was retrograde amnesia. It was because of this side effect that patients could not remember the treatment and had no ill feelings toward it. So yeah, then they basically started getting drugs, right? And so they started using drugs instead of shock treatments. Well, because they're starting to figure out that a lot of these diseases that they claim that we had, they really don't have a very clear understanding of them, right? Like they claimed that I had bipolar disorder and other, they call them mood disorders, right? But the whole thing was a lie from the beginning because they had no studies. They don't know how any of this stuff works. They just put these labels on us, right? And I'm not going to say a whole lot more, but these labels are rather crippling. Let's say I were to tell somebody who I thought I could confide in that I had been put on psychiatric pills at one point in my life, right? Then down the road, the first time that I do something that appears out of order to this so-called friend that I had talked to about this psychiatric care, the first time something happens, they immediately, just like that, will remember and say, yeah, well, you know, I think she really is crazy. See what I'm saying? What they do is they get everybody around us in one way or the other to also support this thing. So let me keep reading about this schizophrenia thing because it's a pretty big diagnosis. And I think it has to do with a lot of issues having to do with electricity and them not really knowing what they're saying. So I'll give you this example. The DSM-5 states that schizophrenia consists of several criteria that together give a rough description of a group of patients to enable psychiatrists to communicate with one another. The DSM-5 clearly warns that we must not think of schizophrenia as a real disease with an objective description. It can't be because the criteria for the diagnosis change with every new DSM update. Correspondingly, every international system of classifications has its own criteria for diagnosing schizophrenia. These criteria are thus not as fixed and permanent as some seem to think. How is that possible? The term schizophrenia is, for example, defined differently by psychiatrists in different European countries. This is because some countries use different systems of classifications. Americans use DSM-5. Some countries use ICD-10, created by the, who are you going to call, the World Health Organization. So, and then what happens with this is then they start putting these people on pills, right? Because a lot of the pills they had me on, they claimed were also for the treatment of schizophrenia. So mental disorders can be one big bailiwick of things that these people have pretty much made up, right? They say that lots of research into schizophrenia and psychosis has been done in the last 20 years. Research has now demonstrated that psychosis is actually part of human variation. Psychosis is about states of hypermeaning, and it happens to everybody. So what I'm saying is, a lot of these pills they put us on are to disrupt our sleep, right? Because I was also put on a lot of pills for sleep and all this kind of stuff. And the pills, if they could give us some kind of diagnosis, the pills start flowing, right? So the pills and all of that start to damage how we view things and how we sleep. We're not getting the same levels of sleep, right? So then you look at 80 or 90% or maybe 100% of the U.S. population is on some sort of pills, right? Some sort of medication. So how is that disrupting their sleep, right? So I'd like to talk a little bit about some historic ways that we came to think about sleep. And this one really got me. And this is why I'm always, now I'm getting to the point that I'm harping on you, right? Always go to the beginning. Because I was thinking about talking about sleep when I do my 3-year check-in on radiation. But then I thought, no, this is a whole new category, because I about spun out of my chair, if I could have spun out of my chair. Where did we get this idea about sleep? Well, Thomas Edison said that using electric light is in no way harmful to health, nor does it affect the soundness of sleep. It's fitting that Thomas Edison, the father of artificial light, was also a staunch opponent of sleep. As Derrickson writes in his book, Dangerously Sleepy, Overworked Americans and the Cult of Manly Wakefulness. Edison spent considerable amount of his own and his staff's energy on and in publicizing the idea that success depended in no small part in staying awake to stay ahead of the technology and economic competition. No one, Derek argues, did more to frame the issue as a simple choice between productive work and unproductive rest. Early newspaper accounts touted Edison's willingness to work at all hours, night or day, to frequently rack up more than 100 hours of work in a week, and his tendency to select his subordinates based largely on their physical endurance. Excuse me. In an 1889 interview with Scientific American, Edison claimed he slept no more than 4 hours a day, and he apparently enforced the same vigilance among his employees. At first, the boys had some difficulty in keeping awake and would go to sleep under stairways and in corners, Edison said. We employed watchers to bring them out, and in time, they got used to it. When they fell from sheer exhaustion, he seemed to begrudge the brief hours they were sleeping. Edison's assistants were expected to keep pace with him, John Hubert wrote in 1913. When they fell from sheer exhaustion, he seemed to begrudge the brief hours they were sleeping. Over time, children's books and magazines began to promote this type of Edison. One juvenile motivational text featured a photo of Edison with a group of workers identified as his insomnia squad. Early 20th century biographies of Edison featured him interviewing job candidates at 4 a.m. and catnapping on lab benches between marathon work sessions. Some short sleepers might have shrugged and said they were simply biological lucky. But Edison encouraged all Americans to follow his lead, claiming that sleeping 8 hours a night was a waste and even harmful. There is really no reason why men should go to bed at all, he said in 1914. As Edison hero worship hit its peak, Charles Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic in 1927, a feat that required him to remain alert and piloting for 33 hours straight. When he landed, he claimed he had experienced no trouble keeping awake. Early psychologists such as Colgate University's Daniel Laird relied on celebrity examples like Edison and Lindbergh to make the case that less sleep was more. At one point, Laird argued that 99% of cases of sleeplessness are a blessing. Self-help gurus ran with a message from there. We don't even know if we have to sleep at all, chirped Dale Carnegie in How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. The enthusiasm for insomnia didn't taper until the booming late 1950s when few felt the need to go without, including without sleep. But sleeplessness ramped up again with the uber competitive economy of the late 1970s and 80s. From the end of the Second War to the mid-70s, America is riding high and people could lead a more reasonable life, Dickinson wrote. But the party ends in the mid-70s. You have the oil shock, the rise of the Japanese economy, and the upturn in globalization. America starts freaking out. In Derrickson's estimation, our sleep-deprived mania has only worsened since then. He quotes the accidental billionaires, the Facebook creation story, as evidence. This person, Edward, was pretty sure Mark Zuckerberg hadn't slept much in the past week, he wrote. He had been working round the clock, light to dark to light. So yeah, sleep is a pretty crazy thing, right? But before I keep going, because I forgot to tell you the links the last time, I will do it now. I just pasted them in the middle. Okay, down below I have notes on how access to electricity affects our sleep, how electricity light is harming our normal sleep cycles. Sleep in America poll, technology is ruining our sleep. Thomas Edison and the cult of sleep deprivation. Do schizophrenics exist or not? And what is the debate about? I have a link for my top podcast. I have a link for my book. You might want to get in tune with who these people are. And I also have links for what I will be addressing at the end. At the end, I will be giving you some ideas on how to get your sleep act going. I have been sleeping so well. Just have to brag here a little bit. I was sleeping so soundly the other night. I'm very, very sick. And so because it'd been a really hard day, I took like a mega dose for sleep that night. Well, I was asleep. I had my window open, the fan going. I woke up. And the entire top of my bed was full of snow. It started snowing during the night, and the fan blew all the snow in. I was laying in a pile of snow in the morning. That's how asleep I was. So anyway, so let me continue on here. We'll get to that in a bit. Okay. The U.S. Institute of Medicine estimates that between 50 and 70 million people in the U.S. suffer adverse health and safety consequences from sleep disorders and sleep deficiency, including greater risk of obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression, and stroke. The obesity boom has triggered a parallel epidemic of obstructive sleep apnea, which disrupts sleep. Now, sleep apnea, I've talked about that in the past. People have such trouble sleeping that they test them and they go on machines to sleep at night, right? Well, the problem with those machines is that people are getting lung cancer and all kinds of stuff from breathing from those machines. So, people need to learn to look for maybe methods that don't include machines that you get from your doctor, is what I'm suggesting. But that's up to you to decide. So, this is an interesting fact. So, a lot of people are getting that sleep apnea, which is also killing them because the machines are killing them, right? I mean, they had a huge recall on those machines. So, yeah, sleep is a big deal. This is very interesting. Children become hyperactive rather than sleepy when they don't get enough sleep and have difficulty focusing attention. So, sleep deficiency may be mistaken for attention deficit hyperactivity. And also, people would do things like, oh, I don't know, remove the sugar and stuff from kids' diet. 19% of US boys of high school age are now being increasingly diagnosed with ADHD. Some 40% of the people in the US report that their sleep is often insufficient, while 25% reporting difficulty concentrating owing to fatigue. The WHO has even called added night shift work to its list of known and probable carcinogens. And the death toll from driving while tired is second only to that caused by drinking and driving. The number of people with sleep deficiency seems destined to rise, with 19% of electricity consumption worldwide devoted to producing light. Many governments are phasing out traditional incandescent light bulbs. Energy efficient solid state light emitted or LEDs are now widely used in television and computer screens, laptops, tablets, and handheld devices, and will further drive increase in per capita light consumption. So we're surrounded by all these. The LEDs are new kind of lights. And I found some really smart people who said some things that better than I could, so I will quote them. Your brain continually creates something called adrenosine, ADENOSINE, while you are awake. This keeps you energized and ready to do anything. The more adrenosine your brain makes, the more it has to carry, and sleeping is the only way to get rid of it. The more it carries, the more it gets tired. Your brain also has an alarm clock called a circadian rhythm of when to do certain things at certain points in the day. Let's say it's nighttime. Your brain is carrying way too much adenosine. Luckily, the circadian rhythm tells the brain it's time to sleep. Because it's sleepy time, your brain creates something called melatonin. This makes you comfy. Mix that with being tired from all of the adenosine, and you get sleep. During sleep, your brain starts putting away your memories it was holding throughout the day away into a memory library known as your long-term memory or REM sleep. This is when you dream. Usually, it's associated with whatever your brain is putting away. Your brain is also firing old bad cellular workers and hiring new good ones that are ready to work. Meanwhile, your body's cellular workers destroy the adenosine while making important fixes and adjustments to the body. When the circadian rhythm says it's time to wake up, your brain stops making melatonin. You have no adenosine, so you feel tired, but this is an incentive to wake up since your brain is satisfied that the adenosine and melatonin is gone. Your cellular workers fix any problems they saw, so your body also feels good. You do gain your energy from foods, mostly as types of sugars that are fed to the little cellular workers in your body. Because your body is always working, you will always be converting food or fat into sugars to feed your cells. Sleep is one of the basic survival modes. It helps us grow from infants to adults, function every day, and achieve optimal health conditions. Similar to eating, drinking, and breathing, sleep is one of the few things we need to do to survive. One way that we can see sleep benefiting us is through our energy levels. A good night's sleep can leave us feeling revived and refreshed, ready to tackle the day ahead. Similarly, the effects of a bad night's sleep are just as clear. But how exactly does sleep restore our energy? What is our body doing to restore it? According to the Sleep Foundation, it works to restore two particular chemicals. They say it's glycosine and it's androcine. That's G-L-Y-O-C-O-G-E-N. So glycogene helps store energy in the brain, and these decrease while we are awake. They're restored while we sleep. A reduction in glycosine levels can occur if we don't sleep well, which is why we often feel lethargic and drained after a bad night's sleep. Androcine is the opposite. It accumulates during the waking hours and prompts us to feel sleepy after a long day. These two chemicals work in tandem. As the glycosine levels reduce in our brain, androcine builds up. This helps structure our sleep and wake cycle. Oversleeping, on the other hand, can damage our good habits and weight loss. Our energy levels can definitely be affected by sleep. It's the basis of just about everything. Well, they say they have these different things with the REM and all that, but I want to get back to this stuff about how does sleep repair the mind and body? How often have you heard the phrase, "I'll sleep on it"? While it often refers to postponing an important decision, a profound psychological and physiological truth exists. Sleep isn't just a passive state. It's an active, essential process where our bodies and minds regenerate. The relationship between sleep and health is so intimate that the Centers for Disease Control have declared insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. So let me scroll down here. They have a lot in those articles. So I've already talked about all that as far as humans spent about a third of their lives asleep. Yet many of us neglect the importance of quality sleep, often due to the demands of our modern fast-paced lives. However, dismissing sleep as downtime is a significant misconception. During sleep, our bodies toil to repair, rejuvenate, and prepare us for a new day. So they have the different stages of sleep, but basically what you're looking for sleep is muscle repair and growth, boosting immunity, heart health, and weight management. So here's the deal. We have been programmed to not get sleep because obviously if they get all of us to not sleep, then our finely tuned electric bodies will not be able to repair ourselves, right? And that will put us more in the need of them to help us, right? So if we're not sleeping, what do people do? They go and talk to their doctor about it, right? So the doctor then gives you some pills, which I don't know if there's any studies about this, but I can say that 100% you're not going to sleep the same when you're taking pills that you get from your doctor. So some benefits to sleeping, what you want to think about doing, maintain a regular sleep schedule. Aim for 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night, going to bed and waking up at the same time. Create a restful environment. Be mindful of your diet. Avoid caffeine, alcohol, and heavy meals close to bedtime. I also recommend cutting back on your fluids. I cut back on my fluids about four or so hours before I go to sleep at night. So managing stress. Sleep is pretty critical. And I was pretty amazed at I was pretty amazed when I found that the people that invented electricity in this country were the ones telling us, sleep doesn't really matter, right? Electronics have a profound effect on sleep quality due to the light they emit. Exposure to light from electronics can disrupt a person's circadian rhythm, which is the body's natural sleep-wake cycle. By preventing the body from getting the darkness it needs to produce melatonin, the hormone responsible for reducing sleep, electronics can make it difficult to fall asleep and stay asleep. Easy access to electricity and artificial light triggers a measurable reduction in human sleep, according to the new study. So they studied these people, and the people with the electricity weren't doing as well as the other people, okay? So, and because I've already covered this in that show about why our bodies are electric, I'm not going to get all wound up about that, but they do know that electric lighting is a major culprit in our chronic state of sleep deprivation. When our eyes are exposed to artificial light, it stops promoting neurons and activates arousing neurons, leading us to feel less sleepy. Technology has effectively decoupled us from the natural 24-hour day to which our bodies evolved, driving us to go to bed later. And we use caffeine in the morning to rise and putting the squeeze on sleep. So the correlation between decreases in the cost to produce artificial light, so this person pointed out that light-related sleep problems may only get worse because LED lighting is increasingly replacing incandescent light bulbs. And also be aware that if you have children, do not let them touch those LED lights because go look at it for yourself because if one of those LED lights falls and breaks, big, big, big deal, okay? Very dangerous. So I'll just keep reading here. This makes a difference to sleep because laptops, tablets, phones all use LED lighting, which will drive a further increase in per capita light consumption. Plus, LED lights are particularly bad for our sleep because we intrinsically photosensitize retina cells in our eyes and they respond to more blue and green lights, like the ones typically, I don't know why that. So somehow they say it interferes with the lights, melatonin disruption. Everything is leading us toward not enough sleep, right? So there was this piece that said, sleep is essential to our physical and mental well-being, so it is vital that we learn more about the impact of light consumption and other ways our 24/7 society affects our sleep, circadian rhythms, and health. We must then use this knowledge to develop behavioral and technical interventions to mitigate these ill effects. It is time to reassess the early assurances of Thomas Edison that using electric light is in no way harmful to health, nor does it affect the soundness of sleep. So, yeah, that quote really got me going, right? Thomas Edison said, "It is no way harmful to health, nor does it affect the soundness of sleep." And it looks to me like that was one big lie, right? Okay, so how do you get some sleep? And I'm going to be pasting this down below because I want it to be very clear. If you use a distillate, that is basically weed that is highly concentrated. I have things pretty well boiled down here. If you use a distillate, you need to merge it with something else. I have been merging my distillate with honey only because that is the easiest thing for me to do. But you have to heat up the distillate and merge it with the honey, okay? And in order to merge it successfully, you just need a very small 2-quart crock pot. In the 2-quart quart crock pot, you put a half gallon glass jar in the crock pot, okay? And then you can put your honey in there, and then you have to heat the distillate and then blend it in with your honey. And that makes what you need. Or you can go and you can buy tinctures. Tinctures are just liquids that you put under your tongue. And if you'd like to try this all out, I have a solution for you. You can also go look at my website at my page, Marijuana is Medicine. So basically, you can take this honey and distillate mixture, which is pure weed mixed in honey, and you can add it to things, okay? You can add it to like a cup of coffee in the morning, or you can add it to your food, or you can just add it to some water with some lemon and hot water to drink before bed. So you don't have to add it to anything sugary. So if you want to make the distillate into honey and mix up a little brew at night for your sleeping medication, just mix that honey distillate in some hot water with lemon and drink that. And don't drink a lot because you're trying to keep your fluids down, right? For my cats, what I do now is I have this little cup that I have some distillate in, the distillate with the honey, and I put some of their cat kibbles in there. So the cat kibbles soak in there. So I just give them one cat kibble with distillate, and they are sleeping soundly. So anyway, so it is the most cost-effective way, and you don't have to decarbonize a weed or do anything. It is ready to go, and it does not have any odor. So no one will know what you're doing. So let's say you think, hey, this is a good idea. Let me just try a sampler of this stuff, okay? Well, first of all, you don't have to have a crock pot, okay? You certainly could heat a bottle in some hot water on a stove. I just personally am not well enough to be putting boiling pots of water on my stove. So a crock pot was simply a safer method for me. But you do what you want to do. But I do recommend the crock pot versus trying to stand there over a hot stove. But anyways, because I found a 2-quart crock pot at Walmart for $10. So much safer than a big pot of hot water boiling on your stove. Anyway, so or so that from that mixture and honey, you can use it a whole bunch of different ways. You could dribble it around on food. You can drink it in water, like I just said, or you can buy it already made in tincture form. If you take a tincture, it's all it is the same thing, but it comes in a little bottle with a stopper in it, right? So you just take a little eye drop full of this tincture, and when you put the tincture under your tongue, you want to leave it there for as long as you can without swallowing, because that tincture goes to all the points in your mouth and actually works really quickly. The tincture is by far the quickest. So if you were to use some tincture to see if it helps you with your sleep, you would use very little. For example, you can buy a bottle of tincture for $14.99. That bottle of tincture will have 50 doses of 100 per thing, right? 100 doses per day would be about what you'd spread out through the day, right? So if you want to test a tincture, I have links for that. $15 a bottle is much cheaper than buying it as edibles. And the reason you want to get a tincture versus going and buying edibles is the way it processes through your body. The tincture just processes better. So what you want to do is you want to order it, right? And if you want to order the tinctures, you're going to spend about $6 or $7 for shipping. And if you want to just test it out, get 2 bottles of tincture, $15 a bottle. That'll cost you $30, $10 to ship it roughly. So for $40, you could try this whole sleeping thing on your own. I have been ordering using first class postage. Postage is crazy in this country. So what I do is I break up things so not so much is coming in one particular package. But if you get priority mail, a lot of these places will require that you sign for it. And I'm not averse to signing for it. It's just kind of a hassle. So you're more secure if you order through priority mail, but first class mail is also okay. So what I'm suggesting is if you want to see if you can sleep using this stuff, then just try simple things, right? Try the tincture. And then if you like that, then go look at my website. I've got all the stuff about the distillants there. It's very, very simple. Very simple. They've just taken wheat and they've distilled it down. They've removed everything from it. So that little bottle you get of distillant, let's say you get 30 grams of distillant, okay? Well, at that bottle of distillant, you could probably mix with about 32 ounces of honey, okay? And so 32, it's 28 grams of distillant will cost you about $30, okay? If you mix that 28 grams into a 16-ounce bottle of honey, well, it will be so strong that you would probably take like an eighth or 16th of a teaspoon. That's how strong it would be. So if you get like 28 grams of distillant to try it out, try it out. Mix it with some honey and see what you think about it. It's the most economical way to go, and it will be the best because I don't recommend smoking. I miss the distillant in the beginning because this, what they're doing with the distillant is they're using the distillant, they call it dabbing, okay? So, like if they roll a joint, right? And they might put some distillant as a dab on top of the weed and then roll it up and smoke it. Or if they're lighting a pipe, they'll have a bowl of weed and they'll put a dab of distillant on top of the weed to kind of make it stronger like things. So, they sell the distillants a lot of times in syringes that you'd use that syringe to dab on your thing, but you don't want it in a syringe. You want it in the little jar. And the company I have listed down below, you'll get it in a little jar. But just keep in mind that little jar is going to be very, very powerful. And there are ways to take that jar, put it into the honey, and come up with the calculations. I haven't done any of that. I just get the jars, put it in the honey, and then start testing it. So I would suggest give it a whirl. It processes differently. If you eat an edible or eat it, it's going to go through your liver and stuff and take longer to mix. But you can mix the THC distillant in a wide variety of things. You can mix it in butter. You can mix it in coffee. You can mix it in water, honey. I like honey just because it's easier. Or you can mix it in tea, candy, coconut oil. So what you're basically doing is the THC distillant needs a carrier of oil or a lotion because you just can't, it's just a tiny amount. So you just can't just grab it out of the jar. Or you can also use the THC distillant in lotions and apply the mixture directly to the skin for localized effects. It's also used for therapeutic purposes like localized pain relief or skin conditions. So if I were to try that, if I were you, I would mix it with organic coconut oil, and then I would use it as part of my skincare. It has a lot of things, okay? Another thing I am going to suggest, highly, 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 they want us out of the sun and sitting inside. That is a bad plan. Stay out of the sun. Put that sunscreen on. Well, I am convinced that you're probably going to get skin cancer from sunscreen versus the sun, right? But remember, people consider me crazy, so take it for what you mean. So I believe it is critical to get some sun. If you can't get enough sun, get some D3 and some K2. Not being in the sun, you need to be generating the production of vitamin D, which strengthens bones and may help fight certain diseases. If you get natural sun, you also will not be overdosing on anything. The sun also supports your bone health, lowering your blood pressure, preventing disease, promoting good mental health, boosting moods, resulting in better sleep, helping with anxiety and depression. Those are the reasons they want us out of the sun. They want us hobbling around inside, sick and depressed, and taking pharmaceutical drugs. I tried the pharmaceutical drug route. That's why I am in such terrible shape now. So I suggest give it a whirl. No pain, no gain. And remember, this is your own individual choice. Maybe you won't have any trouble getting sleep. Some people do fine getting sleep just on a regular sleep pattern. I don't know that that's necessarily true right now. I mean, there's so much stress in the air. I mean, geez, at what point are the boatloads of UN troops going to be landing on the soil here, right? I have to admit, I think Once you find what you like, if you like any of these things, like these tinctures and stuff, I've listed a couple of places down below that have the very best place. You can't make your own, like this tincture that's $15 a bottle. You really can't make your own for that price, okay? So, but if you're a very skilled person in cooking and all that stuff and you're feeling good, you can stand soap, you probably could. But if you're not feeling well, make it simple and keep it simple. And with that said, I am going to be closing off for now. I hope I have communicated this clearly. I hope that you will take the opportunity to try to heal your own body. And should you decide to ever seek medical help, I will offer you this word of caution. They are all in on a deal. Maybe they don't necessarily know it or not themselves, but all it would take would be one word from your doctor saying something like, yeah, she was in here talking about using marijuana for her sleep, and I think that she is crazy. So just what I'm saying is if you go to your doctor and you just happen to be talking to him or her, and you mention that you're thinking about trying some weed to sleep, remember, you're in enemy territory as far as I can tell. So use that. Keep your information to yourself. Not everybody needs to know your every single move, because people will make decisions based on their own criteria. Like people who take a lot of pharmaceutical drugs will see taking marijuana as just crazy, right? Because why would you do something so crazy and go out and treat yourself when your doctor can just give you some pills, right? So in general, people think healing themselves is a crazy venture only for lunatics, right? But I think it's for sane people. And I think the people saying all this are kind of the lunatics themselves. They're the ones that define normal. So just put in your hat. Sit on it for a few days and see what makes sense for you. And I've said this in the past, if I needed to treat a child and get things under control, would I use this method? And the answer is yes, I would. Of course I would. Now, I certainly would not go around telling my neighbors what I had done, but yes, I would consider everything you can do to keep yourself afloat and moving on the game board is what you want to do. And if you have a clear mind and you have plenty of sleep, you will see that things look and feel a whole lot different. So that is why they want us out of the sun and they want us not having enough sleep, because the basic facts are facts. People that are tired and depressed and all this stuff are easier to manipulate and control. And with psychopaths, control is the name of their game. So be safe out there. Goodbye for now.